Somebody didn't want me to speak today because this week, last Sunday, I was like, my throat's very scratchy. And I remember telling Sister Lisa, please pray for me because I'm having a little bit of a cough. And oh, it got worse day by day to the point on Wednesday, this is going to be really hard, Andreas, because I like to move. To the point where I got on Wednesday, when it came to Wednesday, I had a foggy voice. I was coughing. I was doing training with the employees in my company. And every night I went home and go, oh, Lord, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. So I'm so happy and so thankful that I have a voice today. If I start to cough at any time, just give me a moment. Don't worry about me. It sounds pretty bad when I start to cough, but I'm at the end of whatever I've had. So everybody says at work, it's going around. Just be patient. It'll work through it. So I'm working through it. And to be speaking at the end of it can be a challenge. But we will get through this. Because it is the will of God and the plan of God that you are here today and that this message is the message that is to be shared. Now, I was talking to Brother Steve a couple weeks ago and he said, Keith, you just pick up where you left off last June. And I thought, that's a good idea. I think I will. So remember last June I shared with you that when I was born, the doctors told my mother, if he makes it to 50, that'll be a good life for this baby. And all my life, I think my parents had that in the back of their head, you know, especially when I was a kid. I turned 65 last August 9th. I am so thankful that God did better than what the doctor said. And he always does. He always does. And it's wonderful. And that moment, and I'm thankful that I've been blessed with good genes because I work in HR, nobody knows my age. Everyone keeps thinking, oh, he's 55. So I'm like, let's keep thinking I'm 55. Yes. Because I teach Gen Z employees, and they're like, they don't want to listen to anybody who's that old. So, you know, I use extra cream on those days that I know I'm going to be in front of them and things like that. But it was the moment of me waking up on August 9th thinking, oh, I'm officially old. It's retirement. And some companies in Hong Kong would say, okay, you're done. Good luck. Thank you. So far, my company hasn't said anything. Being a French company, they're open to any ideas. And they're like, okay, retirement age is 67 in the United States. Well, let's just keep going for it. Let's just not stop. It might be because they're worried about who they're going to replace me with. But anyway, I woke up and I thought, I'm officially old. Retirement. If I work two more years, okay. But what do I do after that? Some of you could relate to this, I'm sure. In Hong Kong, we are so fast moving. We are working, 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 working. And when it comes to retirement, somebody says, hey, slow down, stop. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And this all triggered my thoughts around this study. So I'm going to share it with you today. What I did to get my mind ready and a little bit of information for you, a little spoil alert. As I've been praying and seeking God, he has a plan. That plan I think it's going to evolve into working more for him. Not working for a French bank, but working for God 24/7. So let's see how that plays out. And I don't know where it's going to be, but you know, when the Lord starts to speak to you, he starts to work here. And then gradually you get the message out, you understand it, and you start to see the pieces fall into place with that. So this is my study, and this is what I want to share with you. But before we start, let's pray, and let's ask God for his blessing. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are here for you. We have come to this place today to worship you and to receive from you, God, what you have for us. And Lord, we have felt your presence here already. How wonderfully you have blessed the worship today. The worship team has led us into your presence, and we have felt you here with us. We have worshiped you. We have raised our hands, oh God, to you this morning already. We could stop right now and feel that we have been to church, for the power of God and the presence we have felt already here this morning. But God, you have a message for us. We pray that these are not my words, but the words of you, your words. And God, we are so thankful that you have ordained this day for this message, for these people who have gathered here in this church, and for those who have joined online, whether now or in the future. Oh God, that this message will impact our hearts. That we'll think about trusting, what it means to be trusting in you. To surrender our plans, to surrender our lives, to commit our ways to you, O Lord. And we ask these things in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. So trust is the foundation of our relationship with God. This week, as I said, I was teaching, I was training employees, and trust came up in the lesson, in the session, and in the outside of church, this is the equation: credibility, reliability, intimacy. Credibility, you do what you say you do. Reliability, you deliver on your promises. And you're available at all times. And intimacy, you know the person. So this week, as I was doing this training, I was going, you know, God is so much like that. He does what he says he's going to do. He always delivers on his promises. He is always available for us, night or day, 24/7. And he knows us so well. We can trust him so much with our life. Without this trust, faith becomes hollow, and our spiritual journey may become uncertain. But God, in his infinite love and faithfulness, calls us to trust him completely. So today we're going to explore kind of what I have been doing and what it means to trust him, why we can trust him, and how we can deepen this trust in our lives. How are we doing back there? Because I've covered everything that I can now before this presentation needs to roll. So, hallelujah. Ready? Can I touch this? So this is our basis. if I said to you, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, you probably go, oh, I know that from when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Can I ask you to read that scripture for me out loud? I've read recently the power behind reading out loud. So this scripture has the mighty grace of God on it. It is the word of God. So let's read it out loud, starting with trust. Amen. Amen. So, welcome to school. Pop quiz. Ooh, some of the students are going, oh, scares me a bit, reminds me of my school days. Which choice would you choose that demonstrates our trust in God? Now, a lot of us fly. A lot of us fly more than others. And recently I was sitting on an aircraft in the United States coming back to Hong Kong. And it was a smaller plane going to from one small town to another town, not a big aircraft that goes across the ocean. And as we were taking off, we just got off the ground and the thing started to rattle a bit as the landing gear was coming up into the plane, and I thought, ooh, and the whole plane was shaking in a loud noise, and okay, when the landing gear was up inside the aircraft, it smoothed out and it stopped. But I thought, oh boy, terrifying for that moment. You know, these aircraft run about 330 kilometers per hour down the runway to lift off. So what do? I look around sometimes and we're taking off. I'm looking at people around me. Some are gripping onto the handrails, whatever. What do when the aircraft is rolling down the runway at 333 kilometers per hour? Do we pray, Lord, don't let this plane crash? Prayer of desperation. No faith in that prayer. Or do we pray, Lord, bless my travels, be with us as we go, and may we be a blessing to those we meet? Option B, right? Yes. So there were days in my life where I used to go, oh God, just don't let this plane crash. And what did that do for me? It actually heightened my anxiety. I was actually speaking out something that I shouldn't be speaking out or even thinking about. So now I speak out the word of God. I bless my travel with a good prayer of faith and trust in the Lord God Almighty. Pop quiz number two for you students. When an exam is coming up and we are quite anxious about taking it, all the students are gone, right? Do we pray? Maybe parents, a good lesson for you too. Help me pass this exam, Lord. Or do we pray, I have put time into my studies and help me remember what I've learned and use it on this exam? Rebecca? Usually you're A. That's a good confession. That's why I'm here today. The message today. B, do you hear the logic behind this? Do you hear the power of God behind it? I think you do. So I'm going to keep on going. This is the definition that I have been holding on to when, not on Sunday. Sunday, it seems like I leave church with quite a bit of a little skip in my step, fellowship, lunch with the brethren, I'm doing great. The alarm goes off on Monday morning and I head off to work. Whew, it's like Jurassic Park. You don't know what to expect when you go around the corner. So I've been holding on to this definition. It's not scripture. It's a definition that church people have come up with, people have studied the Word of God. Trust in God is a confident belief and reliance. I like that word confident. Because when we're confident, we demonstrate that to others. We walk with our head up and not looking at the ground. We know where we're going. We have good self-esteem. We know God is taking care of us. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing over my life, just how the Lord has restored and just kept reminding me, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. And we know that and we have that promise because God's character, His promises, His presence with us. It involves trusting His goodness. As we sang this morning, all my life, Lord, I have seen Your goodness. I have lived in Your goodness, O Lord, Your faithfulness, Your sovereignty and love. And even when those difficult times have come or circumstances have become unclear, which we all experience, we can still trust You. Trusting in God means surrendering our fears, plans, and understanding to Him, believing that He is always working for our best and that He is more than capable of fulfilling His promises in our lives. So let's go to the Word of God for the biblical basis for our trust in God. Always good to go back to the Word of God to reinforce our position with Him. Now, I'm back to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. This verse teaches us that trust involves surrendering our understanding and leaning entirely on God's wisdom. Now, I go from my point of view and my experience, I go, oh yes, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. That lean not on your own understanding part is a little bit difficult for me. Because sometimes I talk myself out of a blessing, I am sure. Maybe I use overthinking to think, huh, now that just won't happen. So I keep cautioning myself. Keith, sometimes things don't work out the way you think they should. Or I might even pray, Lord, do it this way. But He has a greater plan, a better plan. And it's a constant challenge for me. Because in work teaches you, the world teaches you, trust in yourself. And you'll figure it out. Work. So God gives us another direction here from the scripture. More biblical basis for trusting in God. Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. Audience, are you ready? Let's read this. Commit. So trusting God involves committing our lives, our plans, into His hands. So I have started something new in my older age. I've been trying to get up earlier in the morning. because if I'm supposed to be at office at 9 o'clock, if I wait till 7:30, it's a bit of a rush, and I'm already kind of engaged with what's happening in the day, what I have to do, and there's no really any time for me to kind of think about God and the mercies of the new day. So getting up a little bit earlier and taking the opportunity to reflect on him, have a devotion, pray, and commit my way to the Lord. This day is yours, Lord. I commit my ways to you. Be with me. Help me be a witness. Let people see you somehow in my life. The other day at the office, this colleague walked up to me and said, "Keith, I've been seeing you hang out on Hillwood Road recently quite a bit." Hillwood Road, yeah. I live just beside Hillwood Road. I keep seeing you. I said, I haven't seen you, Frankie. I keep seeing you. What are you doing on Hillwood Road? Now, some of you remember what Hillwood Road reputation is. It's not a good reputation. Past, it used to be just, we don't need to go there. But I said, Hillwood Road. At the back of Hillwood Road is my church. Oh, yeah, church, that one in the middle of the road. I said, no, that's the Seventh-day Adventist. No, not there. Down on the leaders commercial building. Okay, there's a church there? I said, yeah, there's a church there, Lighthouse International Ministries. Oh. A couple days later, he comes to me and goes, "So you're a Christian?" Yes. You know, I used to go to church when I was a kid. I liked church. Nothing wrong with church. What kind of church is that church? So you see the progression. He's telling me he's thinking about this. And you know, we're walking advertisements for God. I thought, okay, you know, we have rules and regulations. In the company, I have to be careful what I say. It can be misinterpreted, et cetera, et cetera. And working in HR, it's even worse. But if someone inquires, I can share whatever. If I wore my Yahweh shirt to work, they'd probably send me home. We have a Muslim colleague who prays 5 times a day. I'm sure he might be offended and say, "Hey, report me." But it doesn't matter. But we are walking advertisements for God. And I realized, Lord, you are talking to that man. And let's just see how this goes. So we are continuing to commit our ways to the Lord, trusting in him, and he will do this. Now, if we go to those patriarchs that we often think of, I first look at Abraham. In Genesis 15:6, what does it say? Tell me, starting with Abram. So Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. His unwavering trust in God and God's promises made him a friend of God. So very encouraging. Another one who I often think, how in the world did he live through those times? In Genesis 6:22, Noah. So his trust was rooted in obedience. He obeyed God. the Lord. The Lord has spoken to him, and he did just everything just as God commanded him. God gave him the instructions. He followed them exactly, precisely. He didn't change. Oh, God, you said the boat should be this big and should bring in this and this and this and this. Oh, I don't like that design. Maybe I'll change it a bit. It's not fashionable, so I'll change it a bit. No, he followed all the commandments, the instructions that God gave him, and his trust was rooted in obedience. Now, I have a story to share with you. My mother is such an inspiration, and I know that's no surprise to you. And she's not a super Christian. She's not a superwoman. Nothing super about her. She's just my mother. But what's so great is a super God is working in her life. And I even called her. I said, Mom, you know, I'm speaking on Sunday. Can I share this story? She said, yeah, yes, yes. And I'll even give you some more detail. So, she's a great inspiration. When my dad was so sick and frail, he asked her, who's going to take care of you when I'm not here? And my mom said, by his bedside, God will, without a doubt, I put my trust in him. Now, over the last year and a half after my dad has passed, I see my mom living that, holding on to that. And, you know, all kinds of troubles and difficulties have come her way. Oh, my goodness. This happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And she was depending on this, she's 90 years old, so she's on Social Security. So she was thinking this was going to happen, and then, oh, I'm not going to get that? Oh. So my budget. She's learned how to go to the grocery store and restrain buying what she wants, but what she needs. And, you know, she maybe, instead of buying Starbucks coffee, she's going to buy the generic brand, et cetera, et cetera. And, but she is still, God, when she talks to family members, church people, friends, God is with me. God's going to take care of this. And she needed a new refrigerator just recently, a few months ago. Her check came in, and she had more money that month. And the first thing she thought was, oh, I'm going to be able to buy my new refrigerator. And then she thought, but I want to pay tithe on this money. And so what did she do? Just all of us go through this. Oh, now if I paid my tithe later, or, you know, we start this leaning to our own understanding, maybe I can pay that next month, get my new refrigerator, and then pay this next month. Or maybe does the church really need that money? Seems like the last report, but they were doing pretty good. And the pastor's paid quite good. You know, all these thoughts go through your mind. Don't they? Don't they? Yes, this comes to us. You know, this is what happens sometimes. And so she stood on what she was going to do. So she headed to church that Sunday, and she paid that tithe. And then her friend called and said, oh, I just saw that down there at that big store, they have their refrigerators on discount and some nice ones. So she got in the car, drove herself down to that store, and she went into that shop, and she's looking at these refrigerators, and she found the perfect one. This is just what I've been looking for. actually is the same one my sister had. So she knew exactly how it worked, and it was just perfect. Right size, fits right into the place where the old refrigerator is. It's just everything perfect. She's talking to the salesman, and salesman's introducing it to her. And in the conversation, she tells the salesman, yep, this is the one I want. Well, ma'am, you know, we have some coupons over there in the drawer. And a lot of the salesmen, they don't use those coupons. But those coupons, we can use one of those coupons. If you want one of those coupons, I can give you that coupon. Well, anything helps, sir. He went over to that desk. He opened that drawer. He came back with that coupon. That coupon was exactly the same amount as the tithe she had paid on that Sunday. Doesn't that rattle? Oh, that's glorious. That's wonderful. That's just a testimony and a half. And put more icing on this story. When I called her the other night and said, I want to share that testimony, she goes, well, Keith, I was just walking by that refrigerator this morning getting my creamer out for my coffee. And when I shut that door, I thought, oh, Lord, you have blessed me with this refrigerator. I'm so thankful. This has just strengthened my faith and trust in you. You will supply all my needs. You are Jehovah Jireh. And then Keith calls a little bit later. Mom, can I share your story? And she... I thought she was going to cry. The Lord has just been taking such good care of her, and she... been so blessed. It encourages me, and it should encourage you. Just wonderful. God honors our obedience, and he keeps his promises, and he will bless us for those that obedience. Amen? Amen. And then Job. Oh my. Keith, how can you use this example? Hey, I always have heard, the Lord taketh and the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And that's where it stopped. And then this week I'm getting ready for this and I'm like, I've never seen that before. The Lord gave and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Puts a different attitude to that, doesn't it? Oh, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's how I've heard it in my life. Oh, I don't know, but no, let's read this from The Lord Gave. So despite losing everything, Job trusted God's sovereignty. He was in the right place, even though he saw all these things disappear. Even though his friends said, you're a fool to trust in that God of yours. No, I will not. I will trust my God. I will believe in him. The Lord gave and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So, that is trust in God. And why we can trust God? So let's just think about, all those things that help us as we go out tomorrow into Jurassic Park, meet all those wild people and people coming along saying, I identify as this or that. Oh, my goodness, the mockery of God. I was talking to my niece. She's a senior in high school. She's telling me there's a student at her school in South Florida who says, I identify as a cat. Meow, 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 meow. If that is not the lies of the enemy, the destruction of the image of God, to think, oh, I'm not created in the image of God. I'm a cat. Lord, help us. Why we can trust in God, God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23. What does it say? Every new day, every sunrise. That's what I've been learning. Get up and watch the dawn coming up. Beautiful sky in the morning just reminds us that every day is a testament to his unchanging nature, his love. We can trust him. He is faithful. And God's sovereignty. One that we often tell ourselves or speak forth or declare, Romans 8:28 assures us. How does it assure us? What does it say? And nothing happens outside of his control. 3 years ago, I was really struggling with where I was living. And it was really hard because it was up Old Peak Road and I couldn't walk home, or I'd feel like up, 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 slope, slope, slope. I might, you know, it just was too hard. I thought, oh, need to find a new place. And a colleague invited me over to Happy Valley and I visited their place and I thought, oh, this is a wonderful area to live in. Then I went into on the weekend. Let's go on a weekend and see how it is. Oh, go on a Wednesday night. Even the horses are racing on Wednesday night. This is a nice place to live. So I started, Lord, maybe you'd open a door for me to live over there in Happy Valley. I don't know if it's your plan, but I hate moving. Oh, to pack up things and move. Just a headache. Just something I don't want to do. But anyway, I started pursuing that. Lord, if it's your plan, if you would find a way. And a door opened. This realtor took me around. I looked at several places. And I walked into this one place. And I thought, okay, it's a good vibe if I talk the current language of young people. It's a good vibe. So, good vibe. And the right price, though, was a little more than I thought the rent should be. I thought, okay, I can swing that. Okay. A little more than what I'm paying, but a little larger and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I moved in there. And I settled in. And after about 6 months, I was telling people, wow, I've lived in Hong Kong now for 35 years, and this is the best place I've ever lived. I really love it. Perfect. Great. 2 days later, I got a letter from the landlord saying, I've sold my place. And you been there? And the building is going to be redeveloped, so destroyed. So here's your new landlord. You start paying the rent to that landlord. They're going to come. And then it was endless coming, taking photographs and sending. Oh, and I thought, what happened? What happened, God? Here I am. And it played out that I had to move. But the story behind this is this. I needed to move out. One morning, I was walking to work. I thought, I'll walk to Causeway Bay this morning. And I was walking down the road, and you know how in Hong Kong, they glue all these notices along the wall. You know, if a shop has gone out, you see all these things glued there, light pole, etc. And I walked past, and being able to read Chinese, I looked, and I thought, well, this is for an apartment, for a flat. Good price, nice size. It's about the same, yeah. So I called no realtor, just landlord. first of all, you don't sound Chinese. I said, no, I'm not Chinese. But the notice is only in Chinese. I said, would you lease to someone who's not Chinese? Yes, yes, but I was trying to attract those people who were coming. And I said, yeah, I understand. A lot of people from the mainland do come here, but I'm not from the mainland and I'm not Chinese. But I've lived in the mainland and I do speak Putonghua. 好不好? 怎么样? 觉得可以不可以? Oh, so can I see the place? So he let me see the place. And when I walked in, I thought, okay, good vibe again. Guess what? It was two doors down from where I was living. Literally, the moving people just had to pack at my place. In 5 minutes, they were unpacking in the new place. They were just rolling all of my goods down the road, down the street, the sidewalk, down one elevator and up another. Everything went so smooth. And things have been going great. I've been telling people, this is even better than the last place I lived. 2 weeks ago? Yes. Unbelievable, right? God. I see a poster in the lobby of the building. This building is up for redevelopment. If 80% of the owners vote yes, then this building will be redeveloped, means taken down. And so they're trying to take several buildings along that stretch. But I'm still there. I wrote a note to my landlord, please give me early notice if something happens. And of course he wouldn't tell me whether he was going to vote yes or not, but there I am. And now I'm standing on this. As we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And the other day when this came to mind, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look, Keith, remember the last time this happened? It even turned out better. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And in 1 John 4:9 through 10, oh, how wonderful is this scripture. Why we can trust God, because God loves us so much. Are you ready? This. Oh, have you ever thought about that? The wonderful act of love that God did to send his son. And what happened on the cross? All our sins washed away. All our shame washed away. We are spotless in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. His promises. Oh, I couldn't help but think of the state of Israel in the last couple of weeks when I was going through these studies and coming across Joshua 21:45. Are you ready? Not one word. Everyone was fulfilled. God makes a promise. Never going to miss out on one. Never going to give half. He's going to fulfill all those promises. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord hath made to the family of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Let me check. Yes. So let's finish off and think about how we benefit in trusting in God. And his name is Jehovah Shalom, which means peace. In John 14:27, we read this. Jesus promises, so as we trust him, our hearts are steadied regardless of the circumstance, even in difficult times. We can rely on him. Also, guidance and wisdom. Oh, how many times somebody comes to me at the office and says, I need this in about 5 minutes. Can you just quickly put this together? And yes, I leave it with you. It's not God help me. It's Lord, you know this was going to happen. And I lack the wisdom at this moment. So I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, James 1:5. Trust enables us to seek his direction. And actively trusting in God, we have that reminder that when these things happen, don't act without praying. Don't act without asking God for wisdom. You go on your own understanding, it might not work out. Hey, go to God first. And he gives this wisdom generously. And strength to endure. You know, the Bible also says, he will not allow you he will not allow something to come on you that you cannot bear. That you're not going to be weighed down so much that you're going to collapse, fall apart. I'm here to strengthen you. Isaiah 40:31. So our trust in God provides that spiritual strength to face the trials that we have. Now, in all of this, I've been drawn to another scripture that excites me, really excites me. And he's coming again. Lord Jesus, he's coming again. And how we yearn for him to come back. The things that we see these days happening in nations around this world, where the enemies of God have been so emboldened, we will kill all Christians in this country. Now people go, oh, this is so political. That's not political. That's spiritual. There's spiritual warfare going on. And if it was me, I'd be going, God, your infinite patience, how can you put up with this? Why haven't you come and stopped this? But I see those people who are making those statements and mocking God the way they do. And I have to remind myself, God loves that soul just as he loves you, Keith. That's really hard for me to swallow. Sends me to my knees. But the Lord also says that these things will happen. And we will have to endure while we are here. But this promise in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. And I underline the end first. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So this is my encouragement, and this is your encouragement when you're seeing these things portrayed through media and you're going, what has happened? We can rely and put our trust and go back to this scripture. And it says, starting with, for Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? I have for my whole life wondered, leaning to my own understanding, how is this going to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ tells me, don't think about how. Believe this is going to happen in your lifetime, in my lifetime. The signs of the end times are all around us. And I do wish we would hear more preaching about the end times. That's not about Pastor Jennifer, but we need to focus on this. I was thinking, could we pull up? Brother Steve had some sermons and some studies on eschatology, the study of the end times. Maybe we should pull those out again. Remind us. Oh, my goodness. The time will come. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those graves will open. It will be obvious to people. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. This is the rapture. This is not the second coming of the Lord when he comes back with his saints. There are two events. This is the rapture. Talking to some Christians, oh no, probably not going to happen. Lord Jesus, let's not lean to our own understanding. This is the word of God. Every day, is this the day, Lord? Is this the day that you're going to come back for your people? We're ready. We're ready without a doubt. And we wait for that day to happen. Amen, amen, amen. In my days where I attended some Pentecostal camp meetings, there was an old song. It went like this. We win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win. Amen. Amen. Revelation. God wins. Don't let the accuser say this world is going to hell. Yes, maybe those individuals who are causing all the headache and havoc and chaos and mocking God. We are not. We are going with the Lord. We will be with the Lord forever. So in conclusion, let's have confidence and demonstrate that to God. And what happens when we have confidence and we pray in confidence? And, oh boy, what does that do for us spiritually? It builds us up. It gets us ready. We are the soldiers on the ground for the Lord. It prepares us for Monday morning. It prepares us to face those people who say, uh-huh, what are you talking about? Christianity. I'm sorry. We are not going to... We're going to live our life as God had wanted us to live. So we're not mocking God. Let's remember the biblical example of those patriarchs, how they trusted God. Abraham, Noah, Job. Let's focus on the attributes of the Heavenly Father that keep our faith strong. His faithfulness, his sovereignty, his love, his promises, and bathe. And I pick that word specifically and on purpose and with an intention. Let's bathe. Let it cover us. All over us. From head to toe. that the knowledge that trusting in God will result in profound blessings. Amen. 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 The Lord God is with us, and we can always lean on him. Brother Chris is coming now, and we want to sing one more time the goodness of God. But as he comes, let me pray for you. And if there's something that's in your mind, Lord Jesus, I've been leaning on my own understanding for this. And I've been praying about this, but I've just not committed it to you. I haven't given it to you totally. I keep pulling it back. I keep trying to work it out myself. Lord, this is the day that I put it in your hands. And if that's your case, just put it in your hands and lift it to him. Move it to him and say, Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I don't carry this anymore. I don't want to worry about this. I trust in your sovereignty, in your love, and your faithfulness. Lord God, this is your battle. Lord Jesus, I pray a blessing over everyone who's gathered here in this place and those who are listening online as well. Lord Jesus, we do look to you. We do believe that that day is coming. When we hear the sound of the trumpet, we hear the voice of the archangel and the loud command of God. Hallelujah. We will be in the air before we know it. We will be raptured, oh God, into your presence. But until that day, we want to serve you, Lord, with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And dear God, may we remember every single thing you have done for us in our lives. How you have brought us safely to this place, October 26, 2025. The goodness of God. We have seen it in our lives. We have lived it in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah. The blessings that we have already experienced, the blessings that we have seen, the blessings that we have not seen, things that have happened in the background we never even knew, the accidents that we have been saved from, the illnesses that we've been protected from. Oh God, not till we get to heaven will we know those things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. Amen, 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 amen. Now as we leave this place, may we be anointed by your Holy Spirit to face those circumstances, individuals, tomorrow morning. As I jokefully said today in Jurassic Park, oh God, you give us the power to be able to endure, to bless those. We are your walking advertisements, Lord. May people see you in us. And may we be given the opportunity, God, to bless them, to show them, to help them understand that you love them, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we're so thankful. We are blessed as we sing this song to you and worship, Lord Jesus. You are so wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Hallelujah, amen.